Thinking about Ben Charrington here, going into the trade deadline, and like all of you, I'm wondering, is it better that this guy does nothing or something? If he does something, will it be disastrous? But he has to do something. Really. He has to trade Keller and Bednar and try to find bats, and he has to do it now because neither one of those guys, I don't think, will ever be at a higher stock than they are, better stock than they are right now. I truly believe that. And I wonder, in Charrington's position, what he's thinking. Should I take big swings? Is that best for me and my future? Or now that we're actually winning, we've won 7 of 8, we've won 4 in a row, and honestly, now over a long period of time under this manager, we're basically a 500 team. Does that guarantee me job security into the future? It's a real question that Ken Rosenthal posed and that really has altered my way of viewing this trade deadline. And I mentioned Dave Littlefield, and the situations are quite parallel. Littlefield was in year 6 at the trade deadline when he made what I still think, and yeah, I'm sure he had to get Bob Nutting's blessing to make the deal. I still think he knew he was done. And this was a single-fingered salute on his way out. He brings in Matt Morris, a struggling pitcher from the San Francisco Giants at the trade deadline, even though the Pirates were completely out of it. And his contract paid him $10 million that year and the next year, which was a fifth of the Pirates' payroll. He just made either a desperation move or a take this on my way out and spend it move. Bob Smizek with a legendary column from that day, July 31st, 2007. The lead goes like this. Don't call the Pirates cheap. Don't you dare. You can, however, continue to call them clueless. That's the way they did it in the old days, Sean. Don't call me Seth Meyers. And he talks about Matt Morris, how the Giants were desperate to get rid of him, a last-place team like the Pirates at the time. And all they asked in return were Rajai Davis and a player to be named. And the Pirates were responsible for all $16 million left on that deal. A fifth of their payroll. For a guy who had like a 4-5 ERA and had been over his previous 8 starts, it was up around 8. Is that incredible or what? Dave Littlefield goes out with a bang there, I think.
I looked at what he did in Pittsburgh, and he never played after.
He was horrified.
Yeah, after his time in Pittsburgh, that was it for his major league
career. I told
you,
this is the last stop saloon here, yes. The last chance saloon.
He was a negative 1.7 war over his, you know, whatever, season and a half or however long he was here.
Yeah.
So he was worse than a replacement level pitcher by 2 losses. You could have brought up any
Sean,
jabroni.
They spent a fifth of their payroll on him. That was probably the most uncharacteristic move the Pirates have ever made under Nutting, and nobody can tell me it wasn't Littlefield with a little parting gift. This is what I've been dealing with. Here's the real kicker to that one. You know what it was?
Well, Davis turned out to be a pretty respectable hitter.
Rajai Davis went from being, a nothing Pirate. He played like, I don't know, 100 games here, if that. Not even close to that, actually. And then he winds up in Oakland in 2009 and hits .305 with 41 steals. Then the next year, he hits .284 with 50 steals. Oh, my God, the Pirates. So what does he do? Not Rajai Davis, but Ben Charrington. What does he do now? Is he desperate? And what exactly does desperation mean? Does it mean more of I keep guys like Keller, Bednar, and even Pham, and we continue to be around 500 and Bob Nutting loves me then? Or is it, do I take these gigantic swings because my boss has hinted that I should or flat out told me I should? Or is it somewhere in between? 412-928-9370. Mark Cabali top of the hour, and man, do I have a lot of questions for him about Steeler camp. But in the meantime, let's hit the phones, Sean, shall we?
We shall. We'll go down to Florida with Mark from Fort Lauderdale.
What's up, Mark?
I want to say, you know, it's a really frustrating situation for everybody because you watch Charrington, and John Perotto said he signed to 2027. I have a lot of respect for John. And
is that what he said? I just,
yeah, it's in Pittsburgh baseball now. So I mean, I don't think I don't think Ben's on the way out of town. Based on what John said, and I have a lot of respect for him. He's been on the beat baseball for 35 years. Great writer in your town. But I think two possibilities for the Pirates that people are talking about. New York media has been talking this week a lot about Mitch Keller for Carson Benj, a first-round pick last year at Oklahoma State by the Mets, who's doing very well in Double-A Binghamton. Not an easy league to hit in the Eastern League. Those ballparks are big, and he might be a possibility. They're talking. And the other one I really hope doesn't happen, because anytime you trade with Dave Dombrowski, he just says he's famous for the Miguel Cabrera trade. Other than trading Randy Johnson for a rental, Mark Langston, he's just a track record of dumping farm products, the prospects that are highly hyped. But some people in Philadelphia think the Pirates are going to trade Bednar for Justin Crawford.
Yeah, I saw Justin Crawford's profile on there. He's more of an old school get on base run type guy, isn't he, rather than a power guy?
He is, and his father, Carl Crawford, had a long career in the major leagues. He'll run through a wall for you, though, Justin Crawford. I've seen him play ball at a couple levels. And the one the Pirates have called about, but it doesn't seem Seattle's willing to move, is Colt Emerson, a kid that was the Ohio Gatorade Player of the Year. He's not, he grew up not too far from Pittsburgh in Ohio, and, you know, shortstop, but young, but he was a great ball player last year in Arizona.
Well, maybe they can convert him to third base. I appreciate the call. I mean, I hope they need a third baseman starting tomorrow.
They're not getting Colt Emerson, I could tell you that right now.
Well, that's fine, but they need a third baseman. Would you agree with that?
I think they need pretty much every position on the field at this point.
Here's what Perotto wrote the other day. The headline is, "How many more mistakes can Ben Charrington survive?" That's the headline to his story from 6 days ago. I wasn't aware of this situation. Has this changed at all since then? Angel Cervantes, I believe, their second round pick.
Oh, he's going to UCLA.
Yeah. How could the Pirates not know that their second round pick would decline to sign a contract? How could Ben Charrington not know? How could Director of Amateur Scouting Jason Horowitz not know? Now, he said maybe this was a negotiating deploy. But no, it's July 28th signing deadline. It's passed. Wow.
Yeah, that does not happen a ton. It's pretty rare that you draft a guy that high and can't work out a deal.
Okay, now this is a story. Perotto says, "What is certain is the number of texts I receive from people in the baseball world. They all wanted to know how the Pirates, an organization that says its only chance to win consistently is with strong scouting and player development, could whiff on the 50th pick. It's a dereliction of duty by both Charrington and Horowitz to not know there was a chance Cervantes would go to college." Oh, my God. I don't see the part where he says he signed through 2027. That's the problem here. Either way, who cares? I mean, Nutting did move on from guys who were signed before at the end of the Cunnelly, Hurdle, Huntington regime. I just worry about what Charrington is thinking and wanting to do in his private moments when he looks at his future, when he's sitting there by himself thinking about his future. Maybe I should just keep guys and keep winning. They are winning right now. They're basically even under Kelly. Next.
We will go Greg in Youngstown.
Hey, Greg. I don't hear Greg. Do you?
Greg?
Something's gone horribly wrong. Who's next?
We'll see if Herman and Shaler can
I love the name
those.
Herman. Hello, Herman. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for the compliment.
Sure.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope that this is like a bluff tactic or something, but I don't know how you could keep Mitch Keller. I mean, the guy does not perform well in the second half, and I love Mitch. I think he's a great guy. I like him for Pittsburgh. He's blue collar. Like, he works hard. That's great. But at the end of the day, he's at his highest value, Joe, like you said. How can you not move on from him?
And teams are desperate. And not when I say desperate, teams are desperate to try to win the World Series. Like they know that a guy like Keller can help them do that. Or maybe they're deluding themselves, like you said, because he tends to crumble in the second half of seasons. His value will never, ever be higher. Forget all the other reasons and just go with this one. Every day he serves is another day into his contract, and he's signed for multiple more years at a very good price. Then you throw in he's pitched to this point this season as well as he ever has, and you have a player who should be highly coveted. Now, I don't know how many of these teams have done their research to know he has a lot of like six ERAs in August and September of the last 4 years, but whatever. This is the time, and it's the time with Bednar, not the offseason, now. They should be rolling into the final couple months here after tomorrow with at least some answers on what their 26 lineup is going to look like, or at least some auditions, some lengthy auditions. And I'm not talking about Nick York and Ron's son, Billy Cook. Okay, no more of them. One more.
Okay, we will go to Jay in Columbus.
Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. I don't know how this guy keeps his job. If he doesn't go for broke and get the top-tier prospect from Chicago, Seattle, Stark, what you said, I mean, you got to go with the AAA guy. You got to get rid of Keller. You got to get rid of Bednar. And Charrington is not – he's unhirable if he doesn't go for broke. I mean, if he gets – Owen Casey are a stud, and they remain competitive the rest of the year. They could call up Bubba Chandler and plug and play with Oviedo or whoever.
Oviedo made another good start at AAA, which was highly encouraging,
so,
I thought.
If they even remain remotely competitive the rest of the way, and you get value,
I'm not sure.
Keller, Bednar,
sure.
He might stick around another year.
Yeah. But I'm not sure that, and I appreciate the call. I'm not sure that Oviedo can't go a long way toward replacing Keller, to be honest with you. You may think I'm crazy, Sean. Don't call me Seth Meyers.
I would never think that.
But I think Oviedo was on a track where he could offer approximate stats. Let's wait and see what Keller's stats are by the end of the season, by the way. And I've mentioned Bailey Falter before. He had another good start yesterday. And I believe Bailey Falter, does he have a better ERA than Keller right now? No, it's 3.69 to 3.73. He's got a better whip. I mean, why don't we talk about Bailey Falter more? So you give me a rotation next year that starts out with Skeens, Chandler, Oviedo, Falter, another veteran, or a guy. I think Ashcraft is going to make a good starter, don't you?
Yes.
That kid is, he has a live arm and an idea of how to pitch.
And Jared Jones at some point is going to.